Brilliant.
Okay, good morning. If you don't know me, my name's Sam. Normally, if you've come to preach here before at this church, the preacher will introduce themselves. They might say a little bit about what they do, what their role is here. My name's Sam. I've been here about 3 years, and I am a massive loser. Now, this isn't some self-deprecating thing about how terrible I am as a human being. If you look at the back, I'd also be saying that about Eddie and Josh. Sorry, guys. But it's not all about that. Actually, I've come here to just complain for a minute. I'm a massive loser at the board game Catan. Have any of you played Catan before?
Yeah,
yeah, getting a good few nods, a few hands up. Me and my uni friends played it all the time in our third year. We started it at the beginning of the year, and for the first 10 or so times we played this game, I had like a 50% win rate. I was doing good. We played 10 games, I won 5 of them, I was really happy. But from that point on, I didn't win a single game since. And this was about 2 years ago, right? Some of you in the room have played me at Catan. I can't remember who has. You know I suck. I'm not good at it. It's really sad. I'm just unhappy about it. I'm complaining now. And if we were to look at today's Bible verse, you could read it wrong. I'm going to tell you it wrong first, and assume that everything that I've just said shouldn't happen, that I should never lose at Catan, even though I've got the friend who always only plays for longest road and doesn't even play for actual points. He gets it every time. It's so annoying. I want to win. So today's Bible verse comes from Romans 8, 31 to 32, if you want to pull out your actual Bibles or the verse. On the screen, I've got it. It reads this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I might read this and think, God is for me when I play a board game against my friends. God will give me all things. When I play this board game against my friends, I'm really hung up on this, by the way. But I don't think that's quite what it's saying at all. I'd hope that you would also assume that that's not what it says. At the beginning of this verse, it says, what then shall we say to these things? This is one of these really annoying verses that you get given to preach on, where it starts off referring to the chapter that's gone before it. So we're going to have to do a little bit of a recap quickly. I'm seeing from James Williams' preach a few weeks back, where it says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. Now, this is brilliant. It says, if you love God, all these good things will happen and you will be glorified. I don't feel glorified when I play Catan. And that is a small thing, but there are so many bigger things in our life that we can feel really rubbish about, which I feel doesn't immediately make lots of sense. It tells us here that all things work together for good. And if all things work together for good, that can be really hard to grapple with, because there is sickness, there is sadness, there is suffering. That can come from all sorts of places. It can come from being ill. You can fall out with friends. You can have problems at work or in school. Life doesn't always feel like all things work together for good. What am I saying after this? Now, in this passage, it says all things work together for good. I'm going to get a bit nerdy for a second. The word used here in this passage in Greek tells us a little bit about what good is. This word is agathos, or agathaos. I think it's how it's pronounced. I'm not Greek. Agathos? Well, it's not what Bible Hub said. Now, this word, good, is talking about inherently good for the believer. It says that agathos, goodness, describes what originates from God and is empowered by him in their life through faith. God's goodness is really good. It's empowered by him. It's inherently good for us who believe in him. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit lost, and all my papers still folded awfully. Where is it? Yeah. Just let that sink in for a second. God is so, so good. But then we have things like sickness and suffering, struggles. It's hard to see that a lot of the time. So what I want to challenge here is that we are a bit like little children. We might see things that we think are good, like the need to be healthy all the time, like the need to be happy all the time. And we, like little children, might just not get it. God is so big and massive. We sung about this earlier. He is great. He is big. He sees the whole picture when we do not. There are two images here that I find really helpful. A few years ago, one of my friends told me about God as someone who's making a tapestry. You might have heard this one before. God can see the full picture of the tapestry. An artist sees the whole picture of what they're making before they make it. They weave every little bit together through a canvas. I don't know much about weaving or tapestry making. And they can see the whole picture. But if you just look at it and it's half done, it's not going to make any sense. So the things that happen to us in our life don't make lots of sense. It talks about this earlier in Romans. It talks about for things that we do not see. We have to hope for what we do not see. We have to wait for it patiently and trust in the Lord God that he has the whole picture, that what he's doing will come to full goodness. We're also told that we need to pray for these things that we don't understand. Earlier on in the series, Marcus preached on praying in the Spirit. We are told that we do not know what to pray for. So we have to assume that we are like children who really don't know what's good for us. I started thinking just about like, we might see goodness as like sweets when we're a kid. We want to eat them. They're really good. They're tasty. They give us lots of energy. But actually what's good for us is vegetables a lot of the time, or and a mixed diet. I also, I'm a bit like that kid still. I just want sweets. So we need to trust that God knows what is good for us to pray for what we do not yet understand. Water's good for you as well, especially when it's hot. Who's staying hydrated today? Good job, Andrew. So when God is for us, it says earlier, I should have made this PowerPoint better, that nothing can be against us. It questions who can be against us. Now, as I've said, I don't think it's about playing board games. I think it's about God fighting for us in what he wants for us, what he knows is right. This doesn't mean as well that we have got the concept of goodness completely upside down. You might hear what I'm saying. My first thought is like, surely then I should not pray for anything at all because I don't know what's good for me. I don't want to be like when I was younger, I might pray, I want to get an Xbox for Christmas and think, yes, if I ask for this in Jesus' name, I will get it. Do you think I got an Xbox? No, of course I didn't. But I want to encourage you that even if we don't have the full picture of goodness, that we do know what, when we pray for things, that we do have the ability to pray for good things for ourselves. It talks in this passage about we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, Jesus talked a good bit about praying. He knew what was right to pray for. He knew what was right to go for. And throughout the Bible, it tells us that if we follow who God is, he will change our desires, and he will change what we think to know what we should pray for more and more. I've got a few bits here. In Psalm 37, verses 3 to 4, it tells us to trust in the Lord, and therefore you will do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. That's not delight yourselves in the Lord and he will give you an Xbox. That's if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will change the way you think, and the Spirit will work with you to help you pray for what you do not understand. In Psalm 103, it says something similar, where it tells you that God will therefore satisfy you with good things. When we pray for these things, if they are actually a good thing, you're likely to get it. So when Paul is talking in Romans about God will be for us and not against us, what he is talking about is not the really earthly things like an Xbox or winning a game of Catan. Sometimes it's not necessarily if God is for you, who can be against you in your health, or who can be against you in your job, which is really hard to hear, because sometimes people will be against you and there will be suffering and things will be hard. When we're praying with God for good things, we are going to see ice lollies and what were the other things you mentioned earlier, Gemma? Swimming, warm hugs, laughter. Yeah? Life is good and we see these good things. And when we get these good things, they are also a glimpse into what heaven looks like. God is for us and will be... God is for us, and no one can be against us when it comes to the coming kingdom of God. Every good thing that we receive and we pray for is a glimpse of this. And when and God is fighting for us entirely, which doesn't make much sense to us now, because he doesn't fight for us when illness comes against us. God is for us when it comes to the things that will allow us to come into the kingdom of God and do good for the kingdom of God. So when he gives you good things, he is fighting for your salvation. Now, what I want you to think about here is not get scared that things might not always go well, but be so encouraged that the things that we worry about now are so much less important than the coming goodness of the kingdom of God. Now, the other thing here that I want to point out is it tells us that God is for us. Earlier, I was talking about how God is for me. And this is true. God is for you and you and you and you. But God is also for us as a body. And that's those of us in this room. That's those of us throughout the city of Coventry. That's also those of us across the whole worldwide church. The whole worldwide church that has been since Jesus and before. And the whole worldwide church that will be after this. Now, what I want you to be encouraged by is that when we come here on a Sunday morning, or when we meet in small groups, or we just meet up for a coffee, God is for you in that room. And the other thing that will help correct your desires to help you pray for the right things is being together with other Christians. It talks in the letters about admonishing each other, about warning each other against things. In fact, most of the letters are just Paul telling someone off for doing something and telling you, you should do this differently. And as this series is about life in the Spirit, I want our lives in the Spirit to be changed both in the way that we think and what we want when it comes to God and praying for the kingdom of God and praying for ourselves, but also to recognize that our life in the Spirit as a church family will be greatly empowered by praying together and singing together and being together, because then we will pray for the things of the kingdom of God. So when we talk about all things that God is going to give us, that Jesus is going to give us, I just want to encourage you that that is so good. That it's not always the really small things that we want, but it's the small things that God wants, and that in partnership with God, we will also begin to want. It's also about the really big picture things, like praying against sickness, like praying against war in the world. And the results of our prayers, when we ask for those things in Jesus' name, they will be given to us. The results of those prayers are going to be so, so good, even if we do not see the fruits of that now. We will one day in the kingdom of heaven. All things are going to come to completion. Where's the time? I have preached way quicker than I thought I was going to. So what I would like to do is, if we can pray together, I'd then like to invite Andrew and the band back up. And I think what would be good is if we can talk together about good things. I don't want to pressure you into this, but if you believe that in your life you've seen good things, whether or not they've seemed so at first, we should be encouraging each other in that. So if you want to come up, if you want to talk to Kat or someone you've come with first about what you want to say, because sometimes these things can be really hard to think about and really hard to think, is this actually an encouraging thing to say? Then please go talk to somebody and then come up to the mic and bring it so that we might all be encouraged. Andrew and Ben, could you come back up, please? Is that all right? So I just want to say a short prayer together, and then we're going to sing a song in response, and then we're going to bring some testimonies. Does that sound good? Yeah? Brilliant. Okay. So let us just pray together. God, you do good things for us every day, even if we don't understand it or what it leads to. Keep me from stepping away from your help and your defense, and give us joy in the hope we have in your kingdom coming. In the name of Jesus, amen.